Buddy, man, it is an honor and a privilege to be here on this Thanksgiving holiday. I want to ask that you go ahead and grab a seat and say, welcome. Thank you for joining us on this Sunday. I believe whether you're here in the room or you're joining us online, I believe that God has something special in store for you and for me. So I want to go ahead and introduce myself. Some of you guys may not know who I am. And so thank you for the introduction, Robbie. But my name is Dylan, and I get the privilege to lead our small groups here at the Charleston campus. And I also want to introduce you to my family. We're young, we're still growing, but my wife, Ashley, she's in the service. There's Ashley, that's our son, Jacob. He's going to be 2 in just a couple weeks. And y'all, he is the best baby of all time. And I know I'm biased, but he is. He really is. But I'm excited for today and what we get to do. That's my family. And we have been coming to Awaken for, I think, 7 years now. It's been amazing to see all that God has done in us, but also through us in those 7 years here at Awaken Church. And so this morning, as we are on the heels of Thanksgiving, I actually want to extend some thanks this morning to some people in the room. So first is you as a congregation. I just want to say thank you. So many of you here in this room and over in Somerville have honestly played a part in my life. And I want to say thank you. Whether you've been in a small group or you've led me in some of my small groups or we've been on the same team together or just friends. You know, honestly, all you guys have had an impact and a role on me in my life. And so thank you. Also, I want to thank our staff. Pastor Brandon, he's over in Somerville today. I want to thank him for the opportunity to be here and to do this. And I want to thank Pastor Robbie just for his involvement in my life and just caring for me and helping develop me. So thank you. And then my family. So my mom's in attendance today. I want to thank her for her support and love and patience in raising me. And I want to thank my wife, Ashley. Thank you so much for being my friend and supporter. So as we get into the message today, I want to ask that you would bow your heads and pray with me. I want to ask God now, Lord, for just your help. Whatever we came in with here today, I just pray that you would cast that aside, get rid of any distractions, anything that's going on in our mind. And help us to focus on you this morning. What is it that you're trying to teach us and tell us? Man, I just pray for the next 30 minutes that we could just hone in on your word. You say your word is sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces our hearts. So let us dwell on your word this morning. And I just pray for your Holy Spirit to be poured out on this place. Amen. So, as we get started today, I've got a simple question for you. And the simple question is this: have you ever wanted anything so bad that you would do whatever it took to get it? You got something in your mind that you're picturing? I'll say it again. Have you ever wanted something so bad that you would do whatever it took to get it or to have it? We're on the heels of Thanksgiving, and so Black Friday was this week, and I don't know if it's the same as what it used to be, but I envision on Black Friday people waking up at 3, 4 a.m. to go wait in line at Walmart or Target, wherever there is nowadays, I don't know, and then wait in line to get this amazing deal on probably something that's not that beneficial, but that takes some commitment and some desire to wake up that early and to go get whatever deal it is that you're talking about. But for me, I think about a story, and I don't know, maybe some of you guys can relate to this or not, but for me, this was shortly after college, so like 2016, shortly out of CSU. So I'm not necessarily a broke college student. I just got my first job, but y'all, this is crazy. At the time I was making, I think, $11.50. So I was still broke. So they say you get a degree and, you know, you're gonna be good, but I got a degree and I was making $11.50. So I wasn't making a ton of money. My budget was pretty tight. So for me, anything I could find that was free, that was like, I'm all for it. So I gotta go get this. Help out my budget. So 2016 comes around, and many of you guys know of a company called Chick-fil-A. It's a great company. I used to work there for a long time. But Chick-fil-A did this thing back in the day where anytime a new store would open up, they had this thing called the first 100. So a grand opening was set for whatever date. 24 hours before that date, you could show up and you could get a ticket. You could wait in line so that you could have the chance to be one of the first 100 customers. And if you were, they gave you this card that had free 52 number one sandwich meals on it. So in essence, you could go once a week and get a free chicken sandwich meal for a whole year. So this was like unheard of for a recently out of graduated college student who was broke. So I said, dude, told my friends, we need to go to Monk's Corner Chick-fil-A and be there for the grand opening. And so me and a couple buddies, we did. We showed up. I borrowed a tent from a friend. You know, it was a hand-me-down tent. I think I went to Walmart and bought this like super cheap, the cheapest sleeping bag you can get. And then we showed up to this Chick-fil-A in Monk's Corner and we camped out. Now let me help paint a picture for what this scene looked like. So it's in the parking lot. We show up 24 hours before opening and I set up my tent, and this is on the parking lot, so this is concrete. And I didn't have enough foresight to think about, hey, maybe I should bring something to put on that's a little more comfortable than just my sleeping bag. So I've got this hand-me-down tent. I've got a sleeping bag. We're on concrete. And then this particular day too, I don't know, I feel like the Lord just had to give me. This was in the middle of April. You guys know how crazy Charleston weather is, right? The middle of April is normally like, you know, pretty warm, 70s, something like that. It's beautiful. But this particular day, it got down to 54 degrees at night, and your boy was freezing. I'm from Florida, so 54 is really cold. I talked to some people after the first service who were from California, and they were like, 54? Like, that's nothing. But for me, that was really cold. So we're at this grand opening for Chick-fil-A, and we're camping out, and y'all, 11 o'clock rolls around at night, and it starts to rain. I know, man. So it's 54 degrees. It's raining. I've got this hand-me-down tent and sleeping bag, so I am freezing. And then all of a sudden, it gets worse. My tent floods. There was a hole in its tent. It floods, so I am soaking wet, and I get up, and it's like 1 a.m., and I'm like, Ashley, this is awful. She's with some friends in another tent, so we link up because it's the same for her. And so we just sat up most of the night talking. And I was like, I don't know if this is worth it. I might just give up. But then I started to do the math. I said 52 times 8, it's like $400. Now I could do it. I could suffer this out, you know, for a few more hours, get in line for $400. So I did. So I stuck it out, and that next morning, y'all, was crazy. But I was one of the first 100. My wife, on the other hand, she was like 103, and I'm so sorry that you had to endure all that pain and suffering to be 103. So she didn't get it, but I did use a lot of my number one meals on her. So by a lot, it was probably like 10. The reason I say that story, man, is because I know for some of us in the room, you know, maybe there's some things that we want in life really, really badly. I don't know what first came into your mind when you thought about that. Maybe it was a job or a career. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a child, husband, a spouse. There's a lot of things that probably popped in your mind. Some of those are pretty surface level and some are pretty deep. When I think about what if we ask God that question, hey, God, what is it that you want so badly that you were willing to do whatever it took to get? I believe that's a relationship with you and with me. He tells us in his word in John 3:16, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believed in him would not perish but have eternal life through Christ Jesus. So this morning, as we think about what that actually means and looks like, it's incredible. I know I said I wanted the free Chick-fil-A sandwich and I was willing to put up some stuff, but how much more did God have to give up? Did Jesus have to give up to come and to save us? It's a lot. And what's our response to that? That's the question. His word says, will you believe in Jesus? Will you come follow me? That's our response. So today I want to look at, what does it mean to follow Jesus? I know we probably all have some thoughts in our mind about what we think it means to follow Jesus. Maybe it's to show up to church on Sundays. Or maybe it's to read your Bible every day or read through the Bible, entire Bible. Or maybe it's to pray every night before bed or before meals. But what does God's word actually say when it comes to following him? That's what I want to know, right? That's the question. So I want to look at that today. What does God's word say about following me? Because I believe all of us in the room can walk away with the next step today. You know, maybe you're on this journey and you would say, I'm following Jesus, I'm a believer, or maybe you're not. I think either one of us, we can take away something from what it means to follow Jesus. So I want to look at some scripture today, and I want to help define what does it mean to be a disciple. So we're going to look at some scripture that's going to help define what is a disciple of Jesus. So if you guys would turn to Matthew 4, verses 18 through 20, I'm going to read God's word and see what he says. And as you're turning there, I want to just give a little context. So at this point in scripture, pretty early on in Matthew, Jesus had already been baptized by John, his cousin. And then he had went into the wilderness to be tested for 40 days and 40 nights. And he comes out of that time and he begins preaching and his public ministry. And so very early on, he starts calling his first disciples. And so these are the first disciples that he calls. And he says, verse 18, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets and they followed him. You want to highlight or underline verse 19. That's what we're going to hone in on this morning to really focus in on three points for what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus. The first one is going to be this, following Jesus. To be a disciple of Jesus, you have to follow Jesus. So that's step number one. And speaking of following, actually, I thought about this earlier. Do we got anybody following college football in the house today? I know Robbie mentioned it earlier. It's rivalry weekend, right? And so some of you woke up really happy this morning. Some of you didn't wake up so happy this morning. We got any Clemson fans in the house this morning? Hey, you guys were way better than the first service. There was like four people. I'm guessing that's just because you guys stayed up late and wanted to sleep in. But yeah, man, thank you guys for cheering for your team. We got any South Carolina Gamecock fans in the house? Okay, we got a couple. Here's what I'll say about that. We had a loud applause for the Clemson fans, but that's because you guys are on top. You guys are winning right now. There's a lot of fair weather fans probably for Clemson right now. I know they've been crushing it the last few years. A lot of hate and scrutiny has been on Dabo this year, right? Been on the hot seat a little bit. But for all you Carolina fans, man, the ones that just celebrated, you guys are true followers this morning, man. You guys are ride or dies. You're with your team no matter what. And that's respect right there. I appreciate y'all. And honestly, I feel you because I'm a Tennessee fan and we've been struggling for a little while as well. So we did win yesterday, but it was against Vanderbilt. Here's what I want to look at. When it comes to, I bring up football, why? It's because I think there's a difference between being a fan of a team versus being a follower of a team, right? Fans are just kind of in it whenever the team's doing well, and they'll rep them when they're doing good. But when they're not doing so good, maybe they don't really wear the gear or really talk about it. But followers, man, you guys know everything. You're into the forums. You guys know who's being recruited for 2026. You guys are probably giving financially to IPTE and all that stuff. So there's this difference between a fan and a follower. And today we're going to look at an example of two people in scripture who I think paint a picture of both. The first was a guy called the rich young ruler who was interested in following Jesus, wasn't willing to surrender anything. The second guy is Peter, who we saw in this verse that he actually gave up everything to follow Jesus. So we're going to look through these two guys as we paint a picture for what it means to follow Jesus. So if you'll open up with me to Mark 10, we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 22. This is the rich young ruler, and he comes to Jesus, and he asks, what must I do to inherit eternal life? This is a fair and a good question. Maybe some of you guys have asked that before. Comes to Jesus, and he says, hey, man, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus' response is, well, you know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony, and you shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I've kept since I was a boy. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And at this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. So what do we see happen here with the rich young ruler? He had followed the commandments and done everything right. right? So he had done the right stuff. He had kept the commandments. He had followed the rules. And also, he had accumulated a lot of stuff and a lot of wealth. And I think if you were to dig a little deeper, you would say he probably put his hope and his trust in him and his stuff rather than following Jesus or God. Maybe some of you have been in that place before, where, hey, when things are going good, I got this, right? It's only when things don't go good that we need God, right? But I want to look on the other hand, if that's someone who's interested in following Jesus, what does it actually look like to be a true follower of Jesus? I would look at Peter, and in verse 19 of Matthew 4, 19 and 20, he got up and he dropped his nets and he started following Jesus immediately. So the question is, why? What was the difference? Why was Peter able to drop everything and follow Jesus where the rich young ruler wasn't? And I believe it's because he knew something that the rich young ruler, and probably a lot of us, struggle to believe. It's this idea that God wants more for you than he wants from you. And that's, say that again, God wants more for you than he wants from you. Now, that sounds maybe a little, I don't know if I know what you're saying there, Dylan. Like, he just asked the rich young ruler to sell everything to the poor. That sounds like a lot. And I'll say it is. And scripture tells us it's actually everything. We got to give up everything to follow Jesus. So how do I get more than that, right? That doesn't make sense. Well, I'll tell you, Jesus, and a lot of this book doesn't really make sense, right? Jesus came to flip a lot of the ideas that we have on their head. So that's honestly Jesus' ministry, is taking things that we believe to be true and saying, no, you got it all wrong. So here's what I want to talk about. The difference between a fan and a follower is, are you willing to surrender everything? Peter understood that. And for us this morning, I want to paint a picture for what it looks like if you would just surrender whatever it is that you're holding on to. There's actually freedom that comes from that. You know, when you're in control of your finances or your career, your family, whatever it is that you put your hands on and you choose to be God of, ultimately probably fails, right? I know I screw up a lot. There's things that I'm in charge of that I drop the ball on and screw up. Maybe for you, that's a career, a job, finances, relationships. But I want to encourage you to believe this today, that if I would just surrender whatever that is to the Lord, and he would be in control of it, and I would realize my place as just being a steward of that, that there's freedom that comes from that. When the weight is taken off of us and our shoulders and put on God, well, he's a way better God than we are, right? So I want to encourage you to believe that God does want more for you than he wants from you, and I believe when you understand that, that takes you to the next step. So to be a disciple of Jesus, you first must be following him. Second is being changed by Jesus. So first I'm going to follow Jesus and surrender everything. Then that leads to me being changed by Jesus. When I think about being changed by Jesus in that verse, he says, I will make you fishers of men. So he's saying, I will make you, I will take you from this thing and I will make you or change you to be something else. And so, to me, that sounds a little tough. I don't know about for you guys. They're having to choose to listen to what Jesus is telling them to do and actually do it. I don't know about for you in the room, but how many of you like being told what to do? How many of y'all like being told what to do? Anybody? There was one person in the first service that raised their hand. There's got to be somebody in here. Okay, good. I don't like being told what to do either, right? I know my mom will attest to that. Growing up, I was a little bit of a rebellious person who didn't like authority. And so as I think about an example to share with you, I actually caution myself because the story's a little embarrassing. But track with me. This is before I was following Jesus, right? So show me a little grace. But this happened actually back in college. So I was 19 years old. And when you're 19 years old, you know everything, right? We got any high school or college students in the room? Yeah, man, you guys know everything. So I'm in college at Charleston Southern. I'm not going to say the class or the teacher that this was in, but he had this rule that was on test days, you had to have an empty row. You know, every other row was empty, so that way you couldn't, you know, look to the side and cheat, which Come on, guys. Nobody ever cheats, right? But I get it. You know, just trying to eliminate the temptation. So on this particular day, it was test day, and I happened to be in the row that was supposed to be empty. And so teacher says, hey, it's test day. I'm going to need everybody to move. And on this particular day, church, I chose violence. Yeah, man, I was ready. So he says, hey, I need everybody to move. And I just sit in my seat and chill because I thought this rule was stupid. And so everyone gets up. They're moving around. And teacher kind of comes over, and he's like, yeah, you know, all right, Dylan, you know, you get up and move. It's funny. And I say, no, I'm good. Go right here. And so at this point, it's getting a little awkward. People's eyes are starting to look over like, what's going on? You know, it's 8 a.m. on a, you know, Tuesday morning. What's going on? And so then he asks a third time. He says, Dylan, man, I need you to get up and move. And I say, nah, man, I think that rule's stupid. Go right here. And y'all, man, it's the room gets so tense. Everyone's eyes are looking at this showdown that's going on. And I can feel the eyes looking at me. And they're like, what is this guy thinking? And so, you know, maybe 15 seconds go by. It felt like 15 minutes. It felt like an eternity. But finally, I realize this teacher's not giving in. So it's either going to be him or me. And I think, you know what? I might as well just get up and move. But it's going to be on my terms. So I grab my book bag. I throw it a row over. I get up. I throw my desk and hit another desk. And then I step on the seat and then sit down in the right row and pretend like nothing happened. Take my test and I'm out. I see you guys. You're like, what? You're trying to see this paint out in a room, and I get it. It makes zero sense. But that's just me struggling to listen and obey rules and authority. Now, maybe some of you in the room maybe not have had that exact same instance play out in your life, but I would probably say that you struggle to listen and obey as well, right? Being told what to do. I don't know if it's your parents, teachers, the government, all that stuff. We struggle to listen and obey, right? I know. I was told to stay away from politics, so, and stick to the script. I want to look at an example of Peter. So when Peter said, yes, I will surrender everything and follow Jesus, what happened between that point and when he became Peter that we knew? I feel like there's a lot I could talk about or hone in on this journey of really discipleship, but I want to focus on a couple things. That this journey that Peter was on of just choosing to be around Jesus and soak up everything he was saying at dinners, honestly, in that day, to follow somebody was literally to follow them, like, you know, walk behind them. And so they literally followed Jesus around. And so what did he learn from Jesus during all this time, and how did he model doing it? Well, I feel like he did a pretty good job of staying committed and not giving up. But there was a couple moments where he could have given up, right? Think about him in the boat when Jesus gets out and he says, hey, Peter, walk to me on water. And this is an incredible picture of just obedience and faith. But he steps out of the boat, and then he starts walking to Jesus. But then what happens? He takes his eyes off Jesus, and he starts to sink. He says, you have little faith. Why'd you take your eyes off of me? I think about later in Scripture, this is a very pivotal moment in Jesus' life, Peter's life. But Jesus is arrested, and he's taken to the cross. And up to this point, Peter said, man, I will ride or die with you, Jesus. You know I'm your boy. I'll do whatever it takes. I'm there for you. And at this point, someone sees him and says, hey, aren't you the guy that's following Jesus? And he says, no. In that moment, he actually denies Jesus three times. I imagine that was a moment that he could have given up, where he screwed up. But what I want to talk about is how he never gave up over time. I feel like he very much could have given up. And he was probably at the point where he was about to give up. Because what happened was, Jesus was crucified on a cross, and he was put in a tomb. And for 3 days, Peter's sitting there going, man, did everything that I sold my life out for really matter? think about all the guilt and the shame that he must have felt in those moments. I let my best friend down, let my Lord down. There's a lot of guilt and shame and weight that he probably felt, that maybe some of you have felt before too. And honestly, on this journey of following Jesus, it can get tough. You probably get hit with some adversity. If you haven't already, you probably will. But maybe for you in your life, you're at a point where you're thinking about giving up. Some adversity has hit. Things are going hard in your life, and you're ready to give up. Can I encourage you this morning? Don't give up. I want us to understand that, look, it's okay to mess up, but just don't give up, right? Because if you are sitting in here today and you feel like you have given up, God hasn't given up on you. I want you to hear me say that today, because I feel like there's somebody in here that needs to hear that. God has not given up on you. And how do I know that? What's in his word and it's in scripture? Because what happens with Peter, right? So he does deny Jesus three times, and Jesus is put in the tomb, and on the third day he rose from the dead, and then he comes back to see and to talk to Peter. And what happens? I love this scene. Jesus shows up to Peter on a shore by the sea, the same place he called him originally, and he says, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he asks him three times, Peter, do you love me? And if you do, feed my sheep. And eventually he tells him in that conversation, he says, look, Peter, come follow me. Because on you, I'm gonna build this church. You're gonna be the rock of my church. And Peter would go on to do amazing things for the Christian faith. He would go on to preach to thousands, and thousands would get saved at Pentecost. Peter, that had to be a pivotal moment in Peter's life where even when he felt like giving up on himself, the Lord never gave up on him. So I want to encourage us in the room this morning to understand that, look, it's okay to mess up, but don't give up. And I will say this. I'm not preaching this message of it's all on you to do everything and to it's on us to just work harder or do better. That's not what I'm saying. Because the Lord, he's given us everything we need. He's given us his scripture, and he's given us the Holy Spirit. So I know for me and my life, that's been very key when it comes to listening and obeying. Because like I said earlier, I'm not one that likes to listen to authority, but the Holy Spirit has changed me from the inside. And I believe he can do that for all of us. When the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost onto each believer, it's on us today. If you say you're a believer of Jesus and you're a follower of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit too. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. And that's what's gonna help us change over time. So the question really is, will you choose to listen to God and hear him through his word? And will you obey him? And maybe not do it perfectly, but will you commit to doing it over time? Because I believe what can happen if we choose to do that is immeasurably more than we can ask, think, or imagine, right? And I think about the example of Peter. I want to give you a little bit of encouragement, but also maybe some warning for those of you in the crowd who would say, I am listening or I'm not listening to God's word. Matthew 7:24, it says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it was on a foundation of rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. And it fell with a great crash. I don't say that to just scare you, but I say that because his word says there's consequences on if we choose to listen and obey or not. And I am here today because I have chosen to try my best to do that over time. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. So when it comes to being a disciple of Jesus, there's three things. There's following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and then on mission with Jesus. That's the last thing that we see in Matthew 4:19. He says, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. fishers of men. They used to fish for fish. Now he's taken them to fish for people. He's given us a new purpose and a new mission, right? And what's that mission for you and for me? It's in Matthew 28. It's the Great Commission. He says, therefore, go and baptize all nations in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I'm with you till the end of time. So what does it actually look like to go and make disciples? Well, I believe my encouragement this morning to you is this. It starts in your home. Think about your spouse. It starts with them. They're closest in proximity to you. How can you lead and disciple and love your spouse? Or what about your kids? Starts in the home. How can you disciple and lead your kids to teach them to obey? But then it goes beyond that, church. We're called to lead our families and disciple our families, but it goes beyond that. And I want to encourage you to spend time in God's word and in prayer to hear from him. What is that? God has given each one of you passions, gifts, and talents, not just to be put in the sand and buried, but to actually use to benefit his kingdom and to go and make disciples. I feel like we need to use those gifts and those talents. But it takes time to get into his word and to hear from him. God, what are you telling me to do? So are you listening to God? Or do you have too much stuff going on where you're blocking them out? Your calendar's too full. You're on your phone all the time. Will you take some time in the morning to hear from him? Because I believe when you do, incredible things can happen. And I believe there's some people in this church who are great examples of that. So I'm going to name drop a couple people this morning. Because it's been incredible to be a part of this church and see all that God is doing. Think about Caitlin Giles, who just a year ago was in a small group with Sam and Amanda Kaufman and experienced real freedom and healing from that group. And she messaged me and said, hey, there's some stuff that's been going on in my life in the past. It's been really hard for me, but I've found healing and freedom from it through Jesus. I believe there's other people in this church who need the same thing. And so we work together on to get her ready to lead her own small group. And this semester, she's leading a small group for women only to come together every week and find healing and freedom through Jesus. And it's been amazing to see the stories that have come out from that group and baptisms. I think about Brian and Jill Foy, who've been such faithful people in this church. A year or two ago, they came up to me and they said, hey, Dylan, we feel like the Lord is telling us to open up a small group in our home in Mount Pleasant. You know, we know there's not a lot of people in Mount Pleasant, you know, making the drive over here, but I believe there's some. And the Lord's just telling us to open our home. And for the first semester or two, their small group was just one other couple. It was a couple they worked with. And so sometimes that other couple wouldn't even be there. And so it was just Brian and Jill, which is a very small group. Can't imagine just me and Ashley in the room. Well, honey, we got asked the questions from curriculum. But what I love about Brian and Jill's obedience was they stuck with it. And over time, I think a year went by of just them and another couple. And they had a few other people show up. God wanted to do something in and through them. And right now, they've already had two groups multiply out from them. They had Chris and Nina Hart, who are leading a group this semester on Clements Ferry. I think about Jackie Cornwell, who is now leading a women's group in West Ashley. And then I think about Addie, who's going to be stepping into leading a small group, hopefully in the spring. So that one really small group is now going to be multiplied out three times. And it's just incredible to see, because what could have easily happened is they could have given up. Said, man, the Lord's not doing anything. There's only one other couple. Let's just give up. But they stuck with it. And to see what God brought out of that group has been incredible. And I think about us in the room. The opportunities are there in this church. Man, God is moving so much in Charleston and through this church. We've had over 140 baptisms this year. So God's clearly moving, and there it says the workers are few, but the harvest is plentiful. We need workers. The opportunity is there. I think about our college students who need a place to be loved and cared for and known. I think about our young adults. The age group in our church is blowing up, but we need mentors and leaders to provide community that isn't bars or parties at College of Charleston or anywhere else. We need men and women to help lead small groups for people to find freedom and community. I think about our teams on a Sunday morning, A youth, A kids. The next generation needs men and women to help teach them to obey the commands in the Bible and that Jesus does love them. Because if we don't tell them that, who knows what they're going to learn from society and culture, right? So there's opportunities for you to step in to be on mission with Jesus in our church. So you're sitting here thinking, hey, what does all this mean for me? We've just defined what a disciple is. It's someone who's following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and on mission with Jesus. But what does that mean for me? I believe each one of us in the room has a next step coming off this message. And as we wrap up, I want to paint a picture for what that looks like for you. I want to ask you to ask yourself these three questions. One, am I following Jesus? The next question would be, am I being changed by Jesus? And the third question is, am I on mission with Jesus? I feel like if you can ask yourself those three questions, that's a great starting point for you to know what you need to do next. What is your next step today? And maybe it is to follow Jesus. Y'all, I've been there. I've been in the same seat that you have. There was a point in my life back in college where I was far from God. And I sat and heard a message similar to this, that Jesus loves me. And I made a decision to believe that God wanted more for my life than he wanted from me. Y'all, my life's been incredibly changed since that moment. Have I done it perfectly? No. But the guy in that room who struggled to listen to authority, and there's so many other stories that I just didn't want to say on this stage, but God has changed me so much through his Holy Spirit. I want it to be the same for you this morning. Will you follow Jesus? Will you surrender everything to follow Jesus? Will you let go of that thing that you've been holding on to or that you've made an idol of your life? Or that thing that's weighing you down and you feel like you can't be gotten rid of? The Bible says, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. This morning, you would say, I need to follow Jesus. That's my next step. I want to give you an opportunity. So would you bow your heads and close your eyes as we pray? Lord, thank you for what you're doing in this day. My prayer for is people in this room, maybe there's somebody in the room who needs to follow you today. And I pray for that person that they would have the strength and the boldness to choose to surrender everything to follow you. Because I know it's scary and it's a lot, and it seems like all you do is want things from us, Lord. But ultimately, you want to give us freedom and hope and purpose. And I'm praying for that person today. So if you would say, today I need to make the decision to follow Jesus, please pray this prayer with me. Say, God, I know I have sinned and I have fallen short. I've chosen to be in control of my life, run away from you. But today I understand and realize that you love me so much and you want a relationship with me so badly that you sent your son Jesus to this earth to live a perfect life and to die the death that I deserve on a cross. And he was put in a tomb. And 3 days later, God, you rose him from the dead. And the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is now in me and gives me new life as well. You prayed that prayer, chosen to follow Jesus today. I want to ask that you raise your hand on the count of three. I want to encourage you and pray for you. This is a big moment and a turning point in your life. You can cast off all the weight and all the pressure and choose to live in freedom today. So if you made that decision, on the count of three, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Thank you. I'm praying for freedom today for you. Church, I want to ask everybody to stand to your feet and open your eyes. And I want to celebrate salvation in this place today. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this place and in this church. For those of you in the room that would say, I am following Jesus, what's my next step? Maybe it's being changed by Jesus. We want to help you as a church to navigate what that looks like for you. So at any point during this song, feel free to come down to our prayer team that's in place, or you can take that thing that's been holding you back and put it on the cross. So church, as we continue to worship this morning, I want to ask that you use this time of response to do whatever it is that the Lord is telling you to do. Thank you, church. Love y'all.